It's always nice to sing with music than it is to sing without music. And so I appreciate her doing that. Anybody else in here that plays the piano, you can step forward. And when Faith is our main piano player, but she's gone sometimes. And if she's gone, you know, that there's a seat there. And it wouldn't hurt to take opportunity to play the piano. But we appreciate Beth playing. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I had a different message that I was going to preach this evening. Then I changed it about 5 o'clock this afternoon, really. And I'm going to talk about, I thought I was thinking about the kids singing, and I know we're going to we might be in the very same text this coming Sunday morning, but I won't be the same message. So I want you to follow along as I read a little bit. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, we thank you one more time this evening for the privilege to be here. But Lord, we need your help now as we share the Word of God and as we study the Word of God together. And it's actually more of a preaching message than a teaching message, but I just pray that you would use it for your glory. As we think about children, we think about those that were on the stage here tonight, those that will be on next Sunday night as well, the different children in our church, and what a blessing they are, but what also a great responsibility we have to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So as we think about the message tonight, I pray that you would bless the parents that are here as we train and build children for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I want to talk to you about positive pointers for parents. Just positive pointers for parents. Establishing a proper family relationship is actually a two-way street. So Paul admonishes children in the first verse here to be obedient to their children, to their parents. Children are to be obedient to their parents. That's the first way on the street. The essential for harmony in the home and order of the nation and peace around the world really is that children learn how to be obedient and respectful, and it begins in the home. On the other side of that, Paul says to fathers, especially in verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you've got the children's responsibility, and you've got the dad's responsibility. And if you go back to verse 21 of chapter 5, you find where it says, submitting yourselves one to another. This is kind of how parents and children work together with mutual submission. The parents don't obey. I said that wrong. That's my first thing wrong, and I ain't 3 minutes into the message, right? Anyway, the children obey, and the parents give instruction. Now, all parents, moms and dads alike, most likely provoke our children to wrath sometimes. So, well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, the most obvious one, lack of patience. There are times when every parent shows a lack of patience with their children. That's the first way. The next way is a lack of training. So you'll tell your child to do something, but you really don't want to take the time to teach them and instruct them and teach. Well, I've already showed them how to do that 10 times. Well, that's nice. Show them 10 more times. You've got to teach your children, or whatever, if you want to say train your children, that's fine. So you've got lack of patience. You've got lack of training. And the third one is a lack of discipline. In all of these things, there has to be a proper balance in our life. Children need to be disciplined. All of you children that sang here tonight, you children that will be singing here next Sunday night, you know what? The fact of the matter is, you need discipline from time to time. You're not perfect. Your parents aren't perfect either, but you're not perfect. And the truth is, you need discipline. You need training. And we are to be, though, as a parent, patient with our children. So in Sunday school, we've talked about some of the fruit of the Spirit recently, and one of them is long-suffering, and that is to be, you know, patient with the shortcoming of others. And by the way, that would include our children, to be patient with them. So that's three ways that we provoke. God has given us duties and responsibilities where they belong, and he has given children duties and responsibilities where they come along as well. And so he's done all of that. In fact, all of God's creature and all of God's creation has, we're all accountable to God, every one of us. So in the garden, God gave Adam and Eve, he gave them gifts, and then he gave them a child, and then he gave them another child, and all of that. And we believe that life begins at conception. We understand that. And we fight against those who would destroy these young lives while they were in the safest place you would think they could possibly be, in the womb of their mother. But when God gives us a child, he also gives us the responsibility to properly parent that child. So as parents, and as a husband and a wife, or a mom and a dad, we have different differences, but we also have to have some similarities. Mom can't put everything on dad. Dad can't put everything on mom. And so as parents, we are, to the best of our ability then, to work together. You can develop your children, and I hope all of you will be encouraged to know this, that you can have develop your children into be mature, responsible individuals capable of making a significant contribution in our society. There are some people that if I were to name their name, or you were to name their name to me, I might not say this, but I might think this. I'm talking about adult people. They don't contribute anything to society at all. And there are some people that way. But you can raise your children up so when they get older, they can be contributors to societies, and it's done by divine instruction from the Word of God. Now, I would assume everybody here believes the Bible. I think everybody here is a King James person. Some programs people use are perhaps beneficial, but I think the best program is what the Bible teaches us. And I think the best programs are God's programs, and if we need wisdom, and we all need wisdom, James tells us where to go find wisdom in James chapter 1. He says, if any man lack wisdom, what did he say to do? Let him ask of God. So we go to God, and we pray about it, and we ask God to give us wisdom. And God gives us wisdom from his wisdom book, which is the Bible. So I would encourage you to saturate yourself in your Bible. I would encourage you, parents especially, to read the book of Proverbs through on multiple occasions. You'll read it once a month if you read a chapter a day. I mean, some months you might have to read two on the last day or two on the first day, but you can get through there. Now, we live in difficult days for young people, much more than ever. In some ways, I feel sorry for the little people that are growing up in this country. It is so not the country I grew up in. It's not even close. And it's sad to watch. I feel for my grandchildren. I feel for all your little children that you're trying to raise up to serve the Lord. It's tough. These are difficult days. People are different. Our culture is different. Good night, they don't even know if they're a male or female. You talk about different. I mean, that's about as different as it gets. But that's where we are. And our young folk are pulled in different directions. And so we need to stay in the framework of God's Word. So let me give you some positive things tonight. Number one, if you're a parent, I might encourage you to write these down. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. First of all, teach moral and spiritual values at an early age. They're not too young to learn moral and spiritual values. If you wait till your kids are 16, you've waited too long. They get street smart, and that's the word the world uses, but they get street smart really young. And some of them, too young. You might even forget about 16. You might want to start around 10 or whatever. Anyway, so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, it says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, most of you probably know it, it says, train up a child. Training begins in the cradle. When a person, if you wait till a person is grown up, you've waited too long. Maintain a balance in your spiritual training and in your religious instruction. There are two extremes with people. There are overkill, and then there are underkill. Probably more underkill than overkill. I mean, everything doesn't always have to, you know, revolve around something spiritual all the time, but a lot of it does. Your kids will probably, so here's what I mean by overkill. Not likely your children are going to read their Bible 8-10 chapters a day, okay? Probably not going to happen. Probably not going to happen that they're going to spend 3-6 hours a day in prayer. It's probably not likely that you're going to do any of those things either. But the fact of the matter is, if you expect your child to do that, that's a little bit overkill. So what you have to do is you have to set a sane, sensible program. What the Patch the Pirate children do, if you've been involved in that, or your parents that have, watch them, they have a short little devotion every day. I don't know that it takes any of them 15 minutes. That would be, I would think, a long time. And the reason we use that is so that as children grow, we want them to get into the habit of reading their Bible and they're doing their devotion every day. So it's just a simple devotion that they have. And then, of course, they have their class and they learn a lot of good principles and stuff like that. But you've got to have something that's reasonable. I mean, if you've got a 5-year-old who's just starting to read, I don't think you ought to say, now you need to read your Bible through every year. Okay, that would be foolish. That might be provoking them to wrath. You might say, the little kid might say, I can't read, and then they get angry, I can't read. It's about 3 chapters a day to read it in a year, probably average, maybe 4 some, but most of the time 3. Anyway, you wouldn't expect a 5-year-old to do that. It's got to be sane and sensible. Are you aware that one day all of the children in our church, they will, unless the Lord comes first, which I'm kind of hoping he does, but anyway, all the children around here will be the leaders. They'll be the leaders in the churches. They'll be the leaders in youth groups and in patch groups, and they'll be all the leaders. Some of them might move on. Josh Bates, one of our teenagers, he really aspires to go into politics when he gets older, and quite honestly, I hope he makes it. But that's his goal. And so you never know where some of these young people are going to end up. But we've got to help them. And they're going to be our leaders. And we are to train our young people to be responsible citizens and ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Moral and spiritual values need to be instilled in them at a young age. Modesty, for instance. Young girls, when they're little, ought to be taught modesty. And by the time they hit, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever, they ought to recognize something that is immodest on a lady. We were out on our boat last year, and we were just going for a ride. And we were in one area that we wouldn't go back through again, I can tell you that. But Jamie is our youngest, and she noticed right away, that's inappropriate. And that's what she was saying that. And it really was inappropriate. I mean, there's places you just can't even take kids anymore. And because it's so inappropriate. And then we were talking to a young lady, and we were thinking about going for a boat ride this other place. And she goes, and she told us a place to avoid. She goes, oh, you don't want to go in that area. And we're like, well, why not? Oh, the parties that go on in there, what goes on in there, you need to avoid that spot. Okay, thank you for the information. But there's places you have to avoid. And by the time they're 8, 9, 10 years old, they ought to be able to say, that's inappropriate. That's not right. And you train your children with moral and spiritual values. Because you see, those sweet little tender lips that said goo-goo one time when they were really little in a cradle will either bless mom or they will curse mom. They will either bless God or they will curse God. Those little feet that you covered in their booties will either one day walk generously and graciously as they sang about being servants here tonight and get on errands of mercy. Oh, they will march in the riots that you see all over America and a demonstration. This is crazy. But the home is the place for truth and morality in child training. And so let's do what Moses told us to do here. Let's really do our best to instill moral and spiritual values in our children. And I'm going to say it again. Let's start at a young age. Secondly, create a sense of belonging. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean, make the children feel like they belong in your home. Share with them. Share responsibilities. Include them in conversations. Allow them not all the time, but allow them sometimes to have input. Too many are trying to make a child feel like they're not really welcome or part of this family. They feel like they're neglected as a child. I'm hesitant to say this, but I guess I'm going to go ahead and say it. We felt that way when we were kids. We felt like, you know, we weren't necessarily really wanted around the house sometimes. There were times when it was just like, we're going to do this, you kids get away from here. And it was like, okay, we're not even part of the family. That's, you don't want that, you don't want kids to feel that way. Now you use a little wisdom in that, but you've got to create a sense of belonging. Thirdly, listen to your children. Let me turn to Genesis chapter 22. Verses 7 and 8. This is the time when Abraham is taking Isaac up on Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. You talk about a man of faith? Abraham was a man of faith. Anyway, let me read just a couple of verses of this story. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. So the child is speaking. I guess Isaac is about 17 years of age, is what I've gathered about here in this story. And he's speaking, and dad is listening. My father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Did you notice they had a conversation? Allow your children to be part of some of your conversations. Now, if you're talking about your budget or something like that, I suppose they don't really need to be part of that. But allow them to have input. Isaac spoke, and I would encourage your children to learn to speak to your parents. I trust I can say this with 100% confidence. Your parents aren't going to bite your head off because this is a Christian group of people. I never went to either one of my parents for anything that was important, never one time in my life. I just wouldn't do it. My dad would have bit our head off anyway, so that wasn't an option. And my mom was too busy as a workaholic, so that was like she didn't have time. But you know what's that? She always had time to watch the soap opera at 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day, and you didn't even go in the house between 2 and 3. I mean, that was the time that she was going to watch. Whatever show she watched, I don't know what it was, to make your stomach turn or something like that. I can't remember. But I don't know. But, you know, that's what she did. That goes back a little bit to making them feel like and have a sense of belonging. But your parents, young people, are not going to bite your head off. They'd love for you to speak to them. I don't know if you're afraid, some of you, or intimidated, but I don't think you need to be, not with this group of parents. And then I'll say this, you parents, you need to listen. Listen, Abraham got a chance to teach his son a lesson on faith. And he said, Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. And by the way, he did provide himself a lamb. And if you look at it prophetically, he provided himself the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. If you listen to the question, you'll get a chance to teach lessons of biblical truth and moral values, which you really want to listen to. And when they hit their teen years, they don't ask as many questions. You know why? They think they know it all. But they don't know it all. But they think they know it all. And so dad don't know nothing. It's amazing. This is how it works. So when you're little, mom and dad are really smart. But then when you get to be about a teenager, 16, 17, they don't know nothing. But then when you get about 25 or so, all of a sudden, your parents get all smart again. But there's that few years in there where, you know, they just, for whatever reason, they go brain dead. I don't know what it is. But there's some of there's a lot of truth in that right there. Anyway, you have that opportunity to teach your children. Because when they're teenagers, they don't ask. Because they think it'll know it all. By the way, my first pastor said this, and I've kind of hung on to this. We were just getting ready to have children. And he said one day, preaching in a message, he said, no child ever asks a bad question. Now, there's some of them that I have to stretch a little bit, okay, to say that that's not a bad question. But the fact of the matter is, it's probably important to them. If it wasn't important to them, they might not have asked. Anyway, number four, do your best to develop their talents and abilities. Part of the problem with that is we don't know all of their talents, and we don't know all of their abilities, but some of these kids that sang here tonight, some of them have the ability to sing. I can tell you that by listening to some of them. Maybe that's something that might ought to be developed in there. But I think we have to be careful that we don't make our children something we want them to be, even if it's a real struggle for them. So be careful you don't force something down their throat that really isn't the best thing for them. But your children are special. And we need to recognize and help develop their talents and abilities. When they excel, you know what you should do? Reward them. You should praise them for a job well done. And we should always be generous with our compliments to our children. That was something else that, as I review my childhood, compliments were something that were non-existent. It just didn't happen, which I think was a flaw by my parents. I really do. If one of us, well, not everybody in my family even graduated from high school. That didn't bother my parents at all. I graduated from high school. I never went to my graduation at school, some of you know that, and never had a graduation party or nothing. It just didn't, none of that even mattered. So here's, after I get older, people actually do go to graduation services. That's weird. And then they even have a graduation party. And look at the money I lost out on that whole deal. I mean, I was a lose-lose on my end. But we just didn't celebrate anything, hardly. Just as far as a birthday party, and we don't do them for our children very often either, but none of us ever had a birthday party where one other person other than us brothers and sisters got together. And Mom made a cake and ice cream. And I'm okay with that. I mean, by the time you get so many birthday parties, it gets expensive anyway, so, you know. But we didn't do a lot of the things that I see a lot of families doing and the compliments. And young folks and adults alike. So we talked about compliments, but let me say this. You also need how to learn to accept constructive criticism. The truth may hurt, and for a while you might even be upset, but it's still the truth. Some of us are not the best at being politically correct. In fact, some of the time we don't even worry about being politically correct. And we don't always even worry about offending some people all the time or on anything. But constructive criticism can be a good thing. People shouldn't be hollering at you and getting right in your grill and telling you the what for or whatever like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But just good, gentle, constructive criticism, actually trying to help people. I hope you all learn how to accept that from your parents. So adults, praise where praise is due. Help develop their talents. But if you need criticizing or they need criticizing, accept it. Usually it's for everybody's good. As you praise them and develop by encouragement, remember, they are different and some will excel in some areas and the other ones won't excel, but praise them all and help them develop their talents. Number five, give them quality time. Make time for fellowship and fun. I used fun in my message this morning, I think, somewhere. Make time for fellowship and fun. You got to do something. I will say that. That is one thing that Dad did do. He took us fishing, which is what I still do. And he took us hunting, which is what I still do. And he bought me my first snowmobile, I think, when I was like 6. And I still ride that crazy thing, and now I'm 60. I just love that crazy thing. But we did have some fun times. And though I do remember some of those times. But make time for fun and doing things together. Now, some of your kids will end up being very similar to you, but other ones may not be all that similar to you, and that's all fine. But while they're younger, I just want to encourage you to have some fun times with them, and don't be criticizing them all the time, which I'm going to get to here shortly, I think, anyway. Number six, teach them respect for authority. Wouldn't hurt for some adults to learn a little bit of respect for authority either, by the way. I thought I'd throw that in there. This is a fundamental problem in America today. When you see, Romans chapter 13, please. When you see young people rioting, burning down police cars, trying, you know, no respect for any authority whatsoever. The riots that we had all summer, this past summer, for months, 3 months they went on for, and then some of them went on again this fall over in Oregon. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And there's no respect for nothing. If you would look there at Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This is a fundamental problem in America. A lack of respect for authority. God's put people in places of authority, and we are to respect them and we are to obey them. What are the three main ones? Governmental authority, parental authority, teachers, pastoral, and ultimately, when you get over to Hebrews 13, we talk about pastoral and church authority. Rebellion against authority in the home is a foretaste of a rebellion against authority outside the home. Teach your children to respect authority. Seventhly, don't wait until it's too late. Start young. Don't put it off. When our kids were little, I mean, from Dan on down. So we'd be walking down the street and we'd see a cigarette butt laying on the side of the road or sidewalk somewhere. That's bad. That's really bad. Them smoking that, and we'd ham it up big time. Well, then the next thing you know, they're walking down the road. That's bad, and they start stomping on it or something. That was awesome. And then we'd teach them about that, and we'd teach them the evils of drinking. Now, they weren't going to drink when they were four, but you teach them that stuff when they're little. And when they get older, they've kind of got it in their head that beer is wrong, whiskey's wrong, wine is wrong, alcohol is wrong. They shouldn't be getting drunk, right? They know that now. It's evil. And I mentioned this earlier, but they can recognize when somebody is dressed immodestly or inappropriately. And Jamie's 10 now. She can see it. You start teaching those things to your children when they're wrong. When they're young. And listen. Encourage, 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 encourage. And I'm going to preach on this, I think, next Sunday morning somewhere. I haven't prepared that lesson yet, but I think I'm going to. You cannot be criticizing everybody, adults now, you can't be criticizing everybody about everything all the time. Especially pastors, the church leaders, you just can't do that. You will put a sour taste in their mouth against the church and church leadership. And down the road somewhere, it won't be good. It won't be good. All right, that's enough for tonight. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, these are just some practical advice things that I share with the church tonight. But I do thank you for our children, our parents that are here this evening. They're faithful. They're dedicated, they're steadfast. They all want their children to prosper in the things of the Lord, every one of them. We just want to help them a little bit. And I pray, God, that you would teach them, give them wisdom. They have little ones all the way up through teenagers that are here this evening. Give them wisdom, Lord, to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help us not to be critical of them, but to patiently teach and train them. And God, I just pray that you would help every parent to get that job done to the very best of their ability, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Appreciated the work tonight. Looking forward to the little ones next week. And if you didn't put your offering in today, that basket is over there. Do a little bit of cleaning up.